Manuscript Releases, Volume 14, Numbers 1081 to 1135. M.R. Number 1127, Helping the Needy, Reporting on Christmas Activities, Importance of a Living Connection with God. Written December 26, 1878, from Denison, Texas, to dear family at Battle Creek, Willie, Mary, Aunt Mary, Edith, Addie, and May, and brother and sister Sawyer. I suppose you will be interested to know how we spent Christmas. The day before Christmas, we went to town, and it was tediously cold. I suffered with cold. I never remember of its being much colder in Michigan. But Brother Moore's people were living in a tent and were very uncomfortable. We were determined he should not live thus, and we commenced to bring about a change. We moved them into Sister Baylor's old house, which was very open but better than a tent, for several nights. We had divided our bedding with them to keep them from suffering. We then went to the city and purchased for them flour, white, and graham, sugar, a bone of meat, butter, out of the question. We laid out $10 for clothing to make them comfortable, and necessary furniture to get along. I will tell you everything they had for breakfast, a few corn gems, and a little beef suet fat. Not a chair, a straw bed and a comfortable laid over it. The children had an old rug and blanket laid under them. Sister Moore had no shoes, no comfortable clothing. He had no pants fit to be seen. Christmas morning we all took breakfast together, James Cornell, Florence and Clara, their two girls, brother and sister Moore and their three children, Sister Baylor and Etta, a girl living with them, and Sister Daniels, our cook, father, and myself. We had a quarter of venison cooked, and stuffing. It was as tender as a chicken. We all enjoyed it very much. There is plenty of venison in market. I have not seen in years so much poverty as I have seen since I have come to Texas. Brother Moore has had poor health, and he has nothing, not a cent to get provisions with. We must help that family, or they must suffer for the very necessities of life. I have put those flannel sheets that you sent me on his bed. He is now unable to work because of pleurisy. I gave each of the Cornell girls a dress, which they needed very much. I cannot see want and misery and enjoy the comforts of life. James Cornell earns but little now. He has much suffering with rheumatism. Roxanna has been almost dead with asthma, but she is recovering now from a long siege of distressing illness. You cannot tell how I have worked early and late to get off the testimonies, and there is just as much to come yet, unwritten. Very important matter I am writing in regard to the sanitarium and college and office. I have great freedom in writing. Father is very kind, cheerful, and happy. His labor of preparing matter has been very taxing to him, but he has kept exercising, chopping wood and bringing it in, walking to the post office and back, 1 mile and a half in going and coming. He has physical exercise, a plenty of it, cares mostly for his own team. You see what a change has taken place with him. I am astonished at myself that I can do so much. I do not give credit to the climate, for I fail to see the especial advantages Texas has over Michigan, except in so much fearful sickness, which is a disadvantage. We have a nice, plastered house, a fire all day, and yet for several nights our washbowl has been frozen over, and the mug containing my teeth was frozen in so solid they had to be melted out. Last night the ground was covered with snow, but I do not dislike this cool, bracing air at all. We have been to the depot 3 days in succession for Brother Huey and our copyist. I would like to know how long you think to keep me without my copyist. I shall write some loud letters soon if you do not send us help. You can have no better copy than you have had unless you provide me help. We are getting along very well here. Now have a good wagon and horses, not bought but using them. We enjoy every pleasant day when not driven by writing, in riding out. The roads are sandy and excellent. Father has just finished the first two chapters upon the spirit of prophecy, number one, for signs. We feel deeply the necessity of our people being aroused to sense their duty. We must keep so near to God as to maintain our simplicity and our humility. We must guard ourselves on the right hand and on the left, that Satan shall not have any advantage. We can have the spirit and sanctifying power of the truth in our hearts if we will watch and pray and rely fully on the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. We may realize the special blessing of God if we will only believe and pray with living faith. We are too cold, too faithless. We expect too little. Let us draw near to God with full assurance of faith and not be discouraged. We, every one, have an individual work before us, a personal effort to make for our own salvation and the salvation of our fellow men. We can do nothing in the great plan of salvation without a living connection with God. We should not rest without the evidence that our ways please God. We have no time to lose. We must be in earnest in this matter. The work of overcoming is not child's play, but a reality. We think of you all with the tenderest feelings. We received an excellent letter from Brother Smouse and will write him ere long. I hope he will write often. I like the spirit of his letter. We are retired here, no visitors, nothing to call our attention from our work. We are all working all the time, that is, I am. Father cannot confine himself closely. Tell my good sisters in Battle Creek, I would be pleased to have them write often. Much love to you all. Be of good cheer and live at the feet of Jesus. Daughter Mary, you write that you wrote my sister to send part of that dress goods to Lizzie Tenney. That is my husband's sister, not my twin sister whose name is Lizzie Bangs. You should have found out Mary Foss's address and then written to her for an answer, and not let the matter rest. I fear they have not gotten the box and may never get it. Do write again. Ellen G. White, Washington, D.C., April 11th, 1985. Entire letter.